don't want to see you coming back in here with fucking junkies. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained junkies.
Look at anybody going sitting up a pint with those boys after that.
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Hello and welcome to the so-called Weaker Podcast, Balls.ie's weekly GEA show. It's Mick McCarthy here, back after a week-long hiatus, having been ably deputised by Gavin Cooney, number one assistant.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm right-hand man here today again.
He's back. Mark Farrelly's also here.
Number two, is it?
No, well,
I'm not even going to congratulate you on your marriage.
That's no problem. Thank you to Morris Brosnan, who ably stepped in last week. And we'll have more of Morris's...
Morris has become the backbone of this podcast, yeah. Really, and we won't even allow him onto it. Morris has put together the so-called Weaker Counties hurling team of the league. We had the football team of the league
exactly
last weekend, or last week, I should say. This week, we've got the hurling team of the league. Some doozies in there, some lads you probably won't have heard of, but should know about.
So this is a stroke of genius now. We pick a team of the year, and then we don't allow the guy who picked it on the podcast, so we can immediately distance ourselves from any controversy. If
well, Gavin, I'm back, so I'd just like you to know, like, I mean, I know there's been lots of organisations and heaves and all kinds of things set up in my absence to try and move me, but I shan't be so easily moved. I could have easily picked that hurling, so-called Weaker Hurling Counties team of the year.
It's just unfortunate for Morris that he's off today.
Yeah. In truth. We're not actually kicking Morris off the podcast.
To be fair, Morris had the hurling team of the year done, and we were a bit late to getting the podcast done. He was off today, and what he actually did was he's down in Powers Court in Waterford, and he had forgot to send on the team, so he ran back to his car and furiously typed up bios on each player, and he knew the 15 off the top of his head.
Wow.
So that's how dedicated Morris is to this team of the year.
I, on the other hand, just arrived back in the country at 1:30 in the morning yesterday, and I'm the most prepared I've ever been for a so-called Weaker podcast, but that is all the better for Mark and Gavin bringing you all the more insights and information.
Exactly,
from
inform Mick as well as the listeners.
Yeah, Mick,
exactly.
While you were away, Mick, unfortunately, one of a trend that I consider one of the great things about modern Ireland and modern Augusta has been ruined. It's jumped the shark.
This is so the Kerry jersey.
The Kerry jersey of the Masters. Yeah. Now, for the purpose of this podcast, it's Kerry hurling jersey.
Kerry hurling jersey. Yeah,
that has been at Augusta. First one spotted in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
I did some fierce investigative work for this site. So there's been one spotted every year apart from 2015. So why none in 2015? We thought,
they were all Ireland champions.
Yeah, that was my theory, that Kerry jerseys have been placed front and centre at the Masters at Augusta to remind Dublin and the world that Kerry football and Kerry hurling is not going away. But unfortunately, there was one witness to more or less every hole this year. The extent where it was easier to name the holes that didn't have a Kerry man loitering in the background. And one hole, or maybe it was the putting green, had two jerseys by its side. So, unfortunately, it's completely jumped the shark.
It was a very long weekend in that I remember on Thursday, I remembered your kind of, what would you call it? The bit of investigative journalism you had done a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the miss.
So
that's it.
We may share that again. So we're really excited. Then another one popped up.
I believe it's called Share the Journalism.
Yeah, exactly. Share the Journalism.
One specific question.
Yeah, it popped up again then on Thursday in the first round. We're like, oh, no, the Kerry jerseys is great. We must update that post. And then the man who was... obviously, who was in the first ever Kerry jersey at the Masters 2015, got in touch with us.
Mm.
We got to interview him, and it was all great. And everybody was like, this is brilliant. This is funny trend we've seen. And then next thing, we were just inundated with jerseys, and it got to the point of, I'm sick of it now. And then there was a Cavan lad, and the Cavan lad was everywhere as well. He was, like, not as much as, and there was only one photo of him, but it was just all over the internet.
Yeah.
It was just content.
Carlo as well. It was a Carlo one
spotted.
Carlo
as well.
We agree now that the days of having GEA jerseys at the Masters being a fun, interesting thing are over. Like everything, we had a little bit of it, we enjoyed it, and then the internet decided this was the greatest thing ever.
This is not to write off
the
phenomenon.
Too much by such as Patrick Kavanagh would say, his happiness.
But this is not to write off completely the phenomenon of GEA jerseys appearing in strange places.
No,
it's just the Masters.
I was going to say, what about golf clothes appearing at GEA games?
Oh, no. Oh no!
There was that. I remember speaking
a bit of Tiger Red on a Tiger Sunday Red in the Munster Championship.
Speaking of investigative journalism, I remember doing a post on a discussion on if there was an Offaly jersey in the crowd for Bebeto's goal celebration at Italia 90. Was it Italia 94?
94.
Yeah.
USA 94. But no, that happens a lot. There's some type of Brazil
club jersey.
Yeah, Brazil club jersey or a Brazil t-shirt that's for the Brazilian team that looks extraordinarily like an Offaly jersey, and it keeps popping up in all these videos.
That wasn't that. That was one of the that theory has been going on as long as Socrates winning the Sigerson Cup for UCD. neither of them are true, and Paul McCartney's not dead either. so we just have to make sure we're. I'm glad you were doing a bit of investigative work on that, Mark.
Thanks.
It's good to know. Listen, we should get back to the matter at hand. I know it's the so-called club month, and there's not that much to talk about, but we do have a show for you today, as well as that team of the hurling, of the so-called weaker hurling league.
The so-called
counties.
The team of the so-called weaker hurling league.
Well done. We'll also, we had the club football team of the year was named today. The AIB team, and we actually were one of the people, one of all of the media organisations all submitted our own team. We'll bring you through that and also let you know where we went right, where we went wrong, where people disagreed with us.
Where we went right and where the rest of the people went wrong.
Exactly, yeah. I'm really struggling here. I was up late. I've got that 2-hour jet lag.
We were right, being they Greece. Were wrong.
Exactly. Before we do all that though, Mark is going to bring us around the so-called weaker club month.
Around the so-called weaker club.
I was worried that this slot would fall by the wayside. I'm glad it's
now a club slot.
Yeah, it's bigger and better than ever. If you are involved in any of the club games around this so-called club month, even if you're just a fan, let us know. We want all the strange and wonderful stories that are actually happening. There's so many different stories around the place. We're only going to touch basically on the crust of them really here today, and we're going to start off in Louth and with the match between Clannagh and St. Patrick's, which played out, it was a 1-10 to 2-7 draw, but Clannagh actually equalised in the last kick of the game thanks to Robbie Curran, their midfielder, who kicked a late free. He kicked quite a few frees, as you're about to hear, throughout the game. But he spoke to Dundalk Sport after the match, which may be the most expletive-ridden interview I've ever, ever heard.
Okay, I'm here in the Clans. We're a cracking game of football, Division 1 League. The Clans and Pats after playing at a draw. I'm here with Robbie Curran of the Clans. Robbie, I think the general feeling is you probably should have beaten them.
Yeah, you fucking felt it in the last 10 minutes. You fucking had them on the ropes. They were the man down in the first half. We said to fucking go at them. Just go at them, go at them, go at them. They fucking crumble. Did they crumble? We fucking a couple of chances. We went it and we just fucking didn't take them, and then I think getting involved with all the melees didn't really help either myself. Yeah. But no, I think the feeling is great to get off anyway with a fucking draw, not a loss, but fucking should have got the 2 points.
You scored 6 points and you're after six more obscenities there than you scored with points. I'm gonna have to this be shown after the watershed.
Yeah, I know, but given the task hitting freeze again this year, which I'm delighted at the last year. I was lucky the fucking last one there, just put my foot through it, fucking went over. It was fucking kicked the whole paint off, but fucking delighted it went over.
Yeah, the score, the penalty, that was the only score they got right at the start of the second half, and it sort of, it knocked us back, but he's kept going, and as I say, he's probably, if it was another 5 minutes, he's probably would have won it.
It's right, Johnson played another 5 minutes, yeah, I think we might have
gone. Don't slander the ref now.
No,
don't slander the ref.
I'm not blaming the ref, no, I'm not blaming, but the penalties, things happen, just, especially with enough, but we fucking didn't drop the heads and just kept going. I know I'm cursing a lot, but
you can say that again.
Trying to get me breath here as well after that game.
Yeah, yeah, so that's
brilliant.
That's Robbie Curran.
Love that.
Yeah.
The full interview is on site and it's also on Dundalk Sports YouTube channel. It's definitely worth a listen. I think it had to be a setup. The only thing is when he apologises, he says,
it's a setup. I think it's a very natural series of swears or obscenities or inexactitude, to quote it.
Inexactitude.
Quote a great man.
But yeah, no, it's an incredible interview. Probably our favorite GAA interview for quite a while.
Well, I mean, we deified Johnny Glynn. That's at least 10 times better than Johnny Glynn.
I say more.
I don't know what the swear counter was. Yeah.
Possibly exactly. Smaller stage, but sure. I don't know. First round of the Loud League versus the All Ireland hurling semi final.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
close enough, I'd say.
True enough, they are similar stage. But
they like their football in Dundalk.
To their neighbours in Meath, and Longwood played Dundery, or Dunderry is what you'd read it as, but I believe it's pronounced Dundery in Meath, in the championship. I think they're playing junior championship, could be wrong. Either junior or intermediate, it's not senior anyway. But Longwood, Mickey Burke plays for Longwood, who we all know. Mm. And they won a penalty, and Mickey was stepping up to take it. But what happened, what was interesting, was that the Dundery keeper, David Jennings, was black carded for the foul. And he went to walk off the pitch. Then he turned around and went back, stood in goals for the penalty. Mickey Burke converted the penalty. And then Jennings decided to go off.
That's true.
So, yeah.
And so he obviously pretended he'd gone off. Did he change his jersey or anything?
How did the referee let the penalty be taken?
I don't. This is an amazing story. Just completely confused. The black card was... as Dunry GAA tweet out going, penalty to Longwood, expertly finished by Mickey Burke. David Jennings now accepts the black card, and Gareth Dooley is in nets. He now accepts the black card. So
that is terrible referee.
And I also like how they've explained that there. Like he gentlemanly accepted or asserted to the actual rule. Yeah. I love that story.
It reminds me of Charlie Redmond got sent off in the 1995 All-Ireland final by Paddy Russell, I think. Was sent to the line. There was afterwards they claim it was confusion. He was clearly sent off. And about 5 minutes later, Paddy Russell looks up under the kind of nally stand where Charlie Redmond is still kind of hanging around in the corner of under the nally stand and the Hogan, and just sort of still playing on, kind of away from the play though. So he was kind of no use to Dublin, but at the same time he wasn't off. And then there was another. So this is 5 minutes, 10 minutes of the game where Charlie Redmond plays on, and All-Ireland final, Dublin go on to win, having been sent off.
That's absolutely incredible. So the umpires, we don't know. Maybe they're club umpires if it's level of game.
The keeper, you can watch the video on the site. The Mead Chronicle have a video of it up. We have it up on Balls. Just search for a comical interpretation of black card during Mead Championship, which is an understatement. And you can watch the keeper, he's there talking to the referee, and then he turns around and talks to the referee again and then goes into goals. So I don't know what was the situation.
Maybe he came to an agreement with the...
Maybe it was, speed up the game, I'll stand and goals to this penalty while the keeper's...
And who did Longwood win in the end?
Longwood
the critical score?
Longwood won 3-12.
It was a victory for Justice.
They scored the penalty as well.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. But it was just a very strange thing. And then basically...
can you cite that as precedent in the championship this year? If Stephen Cluxton gets black card, he goes, I'm standing in goal for the next 10 minutes and then I'll see whether I accept this black card or not. If it's the right shade of black for me.
Yeah, he now accepts his black card and will leave the pitch. It's like, Gigi Buffon accepts his red card after the Ronaldo penalty.
It's like every time a player disputes a decision with a referee from now on, he just gets to not let it be enforced. Yeah. So it's just like, sorry, no, I disagree with your interpretation there, Mr. Referee. I will be playing on. We should talk about this and on.
Withdraw that decision.
You can do that in cricket, by the way, you know.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's kind of going by the wayside now because of video technology and stuff like that. But if an umpire was unsure if you might have nicked the ball or something that was caught, it was supposed to be up to the batsman to walk off and say fair cop, I hit it, or if it hit his glove or whatever. But obviously, more and more they're like, nope, didn't hit me, and it becomes this kind of honor thing where.
That may help too. Sorry, no. This is a blind alley, but it probably might help explain the hysterical reaction to the Australian ball temper.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, there's a little bit in it, yeah.
But
side alley for sure.
Exactly.
I, in fairness, brought us down that side alley.
Now to bring us...
And then Gavin crashed us into a wall. Yeah,
now to bring us back to a much more interesting topic, which is league structure and championship structure in the GAA. Because there are signs of an interesting piece this week, and one that Gavin had in his head to do a couple of weeks ago, but the Feckers got in there ahead of us, which
Bloody
was
Irish
to see
times.
What club fixtures were going ahead this so-called club month. But more importantly, what they were looking at was what championship fixtures were going ahead. So they've discovered that less than half of the club championships will have any fixtures during the month of April. So between football and hurling, I think it's 25 championships in total. When you count them up, won't play any games during April. We also were looking at Monaghan's league structure, which is interesting. Monaghan have a league structure now where when county players are available, their points for a win in the league is worth 5 points. And then when the county players aren't available, they'll play the matches anyway without the county players, and the points for the win will just be worth 2 points. So there's a lot of different interesting, like there's so many different things. And like we were talking about earlier on how it does in Dual County. My thing from the Irish Times was, and now to be fair, the Irish Times weren't, they weren't taking any kind of editorial stance on it. They were just stating the facts. And the GAA said, as they quote in the Irish Times, that they never meant for the April club month to be something where you play our championships. But a lot of people were upset at the fact there were no championships to play. And I don't see why you need to play a club championship so early in the year. It depends. If you're a dual county, you probably do. But like, I mean, it's not something like that. We don't have any in Cavan, and we're not, you know, losing out by it. We're playing league games.
The 2017 club championships have technically only just ended less than a month ago. I don't really see why April should be used for club championships. Really, I think you'd prefer to be July and August. Okay, maybe you'd have some in the biggest counties that will be involved in the last weeks of July and throughout August, but. I don't know. I think we need to get to the point with league games where the acceptance is that county players will not be available for league games.
That's a very interesting move in Monaghan, though. Like, it's a bit bananas, though.
Yeah,
like, if you think about it, it's like, you know, this is our league structure. Some games are for 5 points and some are for two because some players are more important than others. It is, like, I actually really applaud that they're trying something. Yeah. And I think it's great. And I really like that ultimately half of the decision is you play on without these lads. Because I think that you're right, Gavin. That's where it's going to. And that's where I think it has to go to. And I think it solves the fixture crisis, doesn't it? If you have, we were talking earlier, in most counties, Mark, you would have a 4-team round robin to get into a quarter final.
Yeah.
So you're probably looking at a maximum of 6 games plus maybe, you know, a replay or whatever. So you're talking like about needing to keep a good maybe 8-9 weeks to give a championship to be played off. Like, that is doable in almost every county. You add in that a lot of counties are seriously dual, especially at club level. It does complicate things somewhat. But if you take out the county players being obliged to play league games, or more importantly, clubs being permitted to postpone games because they're waiting on county players, you take that out, I think it's so complicated. The whole thing is so complicated. We need to have a massive, something big to happen to solve it all.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, there's a couple things. There's also John Green had a post in the Sunday Independent this week, which was almost flying in the face of some of the reaction to people. So some people are giving out about the fact there's no championship games to be played in April. John Green was pointing out that in Meath, say, we're just talking about Longwood here, they have 2 rounds of the championship played already, and they have a load of rounds played at the league already. So as he was pointing out, for some of the club players, especially with 2 rounds of the championship played, their season's nearly over. Like, they'll have loads of games left, all right, maybe, but they might have something, you know, they'll already know if they've got anything to play for. Mm. Where you contrast that with Cavan over the road, we only played our second league game of the year there at the weekend. So our championship won't start until then. I think the junior championship starts the 29th of July and the seniors the first weekend in August, depending, obviously, if Cavan make the Super 8s or not. But at least, and with us, it's just you might be playing 13 league games if you're in Division 2 or 3, and you're just going to play them every week. And there's weeks where you can see there's designated the county players will be available. The other weeks, the county players won't be available, and you can like it or lump it, they're going ahead anyway. So you know the 2 weeks. We've got 2 weeks off at the start of June. You know when they are already, and the games are played, they're 2 points for a win. So it's kind of like the Monaghan thing, except without the
5-point wackiness. Yeah. And I don't know. And I think it's something that I think it's the kind of thing that we can't judge, actually. I'm not really in favour of this April club month and the messing up too much of the calendar of the year. I'm up for messing up the structures all you like, you know what I mean? I think that we need to try different things, but I don't really agree. But I also think, in fairness, you can't really judge it until it's been done for a couple of years and they actually realise what this window means and what you can actually do with it. I think this year it's a lot of trial and error, and one county will have a different idea to another, and one county will stand up to the county manager and the other won't. And I think over the course of a couple of years, you'll actually see what needs to be done here. I don't know if we know yet, really, you know.
Mm. Yep. And also, the hurling thing is always different. As in, like, we're talking about Monaghan and Cavan and how these are all interesting ways to follow it. They don't have that problem of the dual county.
Yeah, I mean,
you just bare your head when you look at that. You're like, I have I
have scribbles on a notebook here of like trying to organize how many weeks there are in a year versus how many games need to be played on in both sports and all that. Yeah. And you just tear your hair out.
I'm actually beginning to revise my earlier opinion that April shouldn't really be playing county championship games in April. You probably actually kind of do need to.
I think throwing off a couple of games early in the year, but maybe again, like, it's a problem that county boards can't get their house in order enough to organise a championship to say, look, this is we're going to, sorry, Davy, for example, not particular, but look, we need two rounds of the championship played before the start of June or whatever, you know, and they can just do it without this kind of mandated month that doesn't fit every, it's not suitable for everybody. And it's not suitable for a lot of people to just say, oh, let's play in April. It's not suitable to county teams. I mean, sorry, but this is a very valuable part of pre-season that's suddenly just been taken away. As you're not supposed to have access to your players for a month. It's kind of mad just before the championship starts. You know what I mean? So there does need to be some kind of give and take. I don't know what way it'll end up working out, but
I have
a feeling this will be a failure.
I have a feeling that in years to come, it will be the club player goes away for the year and you see him when you might see him when the county season's over. If there's maybe there's championship games left, at the that'd be at the bare minimum, but maybe he's just gone for good. And if they get dropped off the panel, then they go back and play.
I would think it would be something like that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, there's definitely a sadness about that, I have to say. Like,
well, I mean,
I kind of think it's inevitable as well, but it's easy to say that from our point of view. We're like, you know, you're in a town that has the big star going off to play for your county. It is sad that he doesn't get to represent you. It's a big deal to play in your county championship, you know.
The other thing is, if you're intermediate or junior, there are players that make such a massive difference. Like, Grobe McKiernan's a perfect example in Cavan, plays with Swanland Bar. And the difference between playing Swanland Bar without Grobe McKiernan and with Grobe McKiernan is like, it's night and day.
Yeah, so think about how good a player has to be to make enough of an impact that they're on the county team from the intermediate championship.
I'm kind of beginning to look.
Seamus Harnady isn't playing for his club in Cork. They're probably not winning matches, like, you know.
I'm beginning to look on like Inch County football and hurling as semi-professional and the club. The club game is amateur.
Yeah, but I mean, what about the ethos of the GAA?
I don't know. I mean, anyway,
the amateur ethos. Anyway, okay. Well, we won't get into it. Where this isn't the place. This isn't the time or place on a GAA podcast.
It's backwards again by a Noel McGrath. Back once again, it comes here to the number two. Back once again to Conor Loftus. Once again through one market to another. But back once again. Back once again there to Brian Stack. One back once again here. Back once again to Philly McMahon this time. There's a chance for Mayo now just to build it from the back once again. Back once again towards back once again. Back once again. Back once again.
So, will we talk about the club football team of the year?
Club football team of the year.
Very
yes,
interesting
good.
Club football year.
How much
Curve
of it? How many people agreed with us?
So we put out. Well, we don't know how many people agreed with us. What we know is that we submitted a team the same as most media organisations, and then they selected a 15-team all-star based on, I think, a general consensus. We submitted that not too long after the All Ireland final, I think.
Yeah, it was before the All Ireland final.
Was it?
Yeah, it was in February, wasn't it?
I vaguely remember it being toward the end of February.
Yeah. So we knew the two teams in the final. It was, because it was just after the semis, because we just watched the Nemo and Schlott-Neil game, and Tomás O'Shea had a stormer, which probably was unfairly bumped into our team. But Mark, you have the team there. I know it was pretty amazing that I think we had the entire full back line right in the right order.
Yeah, we had Antoine McMullen, Liam Silk, Kieran Fitzgerald, and Karen McCaig. So we may have had Silk and McCaig as the two other corners, but that was about the height.
No, I don't think we did actually. Oh, and we had Chris, I think
Chrissy McCaig at
two, three,
back.
And four definitely right, and six was right as well.
You could go into a coma for the last 18 months and still come out with Chrissy McCaig.
That's true.
So this is a triumph so far. I mean, maybe it's not a triumph. Maybe we don't, us little media organization here, don't want to agree with everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
The others just mentioned there in the back line is James Murray of Moorfield and Dylan Wall were the other two.
This is in the real team now.
Then in central midfield, you've got Alan O'Donovan and Michael Farraher from Corrifin and Emo Rangers. Do we have
neither
them?
Of whom we had for some reason. But
did Tomás O'Shea not make it in this team?
No, we did not.
Again, not a reflection on anyone we didn't have. It's just that we made cases for other people. Yeah,
and then in our forward line, you've got Eno O'Connor from Moorfield. Christopher Bradley from Schlott-Neil and Ian Burke, they make up the half forward line.
Yeah, we had Aine O'Connor in the full forward line, but we had him on the team. He's the only one.
And then the full forward line is Martin Farraher from Corrifin, Luke Connolly at full forward from Nemo Rangers. I think we had Connolly.
We had him at corner.
And the other corner was Patrick McBrearty, interestingly, from Kilcar.
Yeah. Didn't.
Yes.
I can't say I saw Paddy McBrearty in the league this year, actually.
I did, but
or
it's
in the club championship. Sorry, the club championship.
Too much more than it.
They didn't win Ulster.
No, they didn't even get to the final. I know,
that's
I
an odd one,
where
isn't
that came out of.
Now, my theory.
They won Donegal, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I know, in fairness, yeah. Like, I mean, sorry. No denying that McBrearty's an amazing player and it's possibly one of the best. Sorry, he's definitely one of the best forwards in the country. But I don't really know how. I think he's been doing that for Donegal rather than for Kilkerr.
Mm. Yeah, he's done it for Kilkerr.
I don't know, though. If they got to an Ulster semi final, it means they won Donegal, which is an incredibly competitive championship, and won at least one game. I'd played at least two games in the Ulster Championship. Like, it would it surprise you massively if Paddy McBrearty was man of the match in every single one of those games?
No, not at all, actually.
Yeah, I was kind of. There was part of me was kind of like going, you can't pick someone who just got to a provincial semi-final.
Yeah.
And then I looked back at our team and we had Leighton Glynn for Rathnew.
Did
but also we had John Heslin, and John Heslin was unbelievable. I mean,
yeah.
John Heslin
was
team.
One of the midfielders. That's who I was talking about when I was saying it's no reflection on who's not there to talk about who is there, you know, or who we picked, you know, like it's...
We put John Heslin at full forward. Every week we just end up fan...
We had him in midfield, actually.
No, sorry, full forward in the...
we had him in our team
last week.
Who's in goal, by the way? We didn't hear.
Antoine McMullen from...
Ah,
Stockholm.
Sorry, I thought you said Conor.
Yeah,
sorry.
I don't think we had him, actually, in our team.
I can't remember who we had.
No, we had...
I think we had Murphy from Croke, did we?
Yes, yeah. That was your call, Gavin, actually, now that I think about it.
Just for
I know nothing.
Worth mentioning as well, the three players who've been nominated for Player of the Year, for Club Footballer of the Year, is Ian Burke, Michael Farrar, and Liam Silk, all of whom are, of course, from Corrifin. Jesus, yeah. Corrifin, they're going to make some difference to Galway. I saw Galway at the league final. You weren't here for this.
Yeah.
Went up. Oh, jeez, it was great. Playing the Galway way.
The Galway.
They'd know Pádraig Joyce or Michael Donlan, who they'd missed. So if they get Joyce and Donlan back and then get these Corrifin lads back, they'll have a good tilt at Connacht, I'd say.
I think now we've no time to talk about the Division 1 hurling final.
Is Liam Salmon still playing for Galway, is he? Or?
No, John Dively, though. I don't know. He was a ferocious player there. I haven't seen him as well. What's that?
Staying with teams, you know, arbitrary selected, subjective teams of the year. Last year, as the lads mentioned, they brought you the team of the so-called weaker football league. Mm. And this year, it's time for the team of the so-called weaker hurling league. As brought to you, let's just say we're washing our hands of it before you get angry.
Yeah,
Morris, you know, as all good journalists and podcast presenters do, we're washing our hands of this and saying it's all down to Morris Brosnan.
Full name
young at, lad of Balsillie. Yeah,
full name at @M_Brosnan.
Yeah, he directed
young,
all
young whippersnapper.
He directed all vitriol towards me last week for the football one. So I'm going to direct all.
Did you get
him.
Much actually?
Not a whole.
It was a good team, but looks.
I did notice afterwards that we had two players from Carlow, two from Cavan, and two from Fermanagh. So we had two players from each of the teams that lost the league final. And only one player from Armagh, one player from Leash, and one player from Roscommon.
Sure, lads. So. It's a 15-man team. Yeah. This idea of the winners have to have the most isn't...
Exactly, but to be fair, like say, likes of Roscommon, we only had one because they had six forwards that were all very, very good. And we may pick one of them. We couldn't pick between them. So like that was where other counties may have been more dependent on just one, like Fermanagh or whoever it was. But for the hurling team...
We've gone, by the way, just for... It's 1A, but also we've taken out Galway and Limerick from 1B as well. Just to be fair, there is a clear top 8 in hurling and probably only right that we don't include the All-Ireland champions in this. So.
Galway probably aren't a so-called weaker county. So yes, in goals, we've got Joe Canning. Oh, wait, no. We've got Stephen Murphy of Kerry in goals. We've got a full back line of Karen McCaig, Leigh Bergen and David English.
Karen McKay getting into both teams.
I was about to say as well, it's like, I think this could be a case of the opposite happening here, where we were given out by Paddy McBrearty getting into the club player club team of the year for his performances at county level. Karen McCaig is in here for Derry, who finished bottom of the hurling league.
In Division 2B or something. Yeah, like they were terrible, weren't they? We had discussions about how bad they were.
But he is probably one of the...
Did he even play in the league for Derry?
This is... Look, Morris... He's done it.
Morris is being torched.
Young balls on a whippersnapper. Boris Brosnan is the last answer.
Unbelievable league, to be fair. So, or for the club. So,
This is the team of the league. Yeah. Sure.
Mick now is going to pick a rival fullback.
Oh, I will. Cornerback.
Cornerback.
You'll be thinking of that when I go through the half-back line. Dermot Short, Tommy Doyle of Westmeath, and James Madden, who had a great league for Dublin, one of Dublin's best players. Is also interesting. We always give out about the All-Stars pigeonholing players into different positions. And every time we go to make one of these, we always end up pigeonholing players into different positions. So Westmeath's captain, Tommy Doyle, midfielder by trade, but we have him in at centre half-back. So again... Any disagreement with that directed towards Mars? No.
Tommy Doyle's one of those hurlers, very briefly, who's like quickly taking on the sort of Declan Brown role of hurling. You know, he's like he's consistently talked about as one of those players that would get onto any team if he was, you know, from a different county and stuff like that. So nice to see him get. We might make him captain here at centre back.
Might do. We've got a midfield here of Shane Kinsella and Paul Uniac, who is the Warwickshire free taker. Now the way Morris quite rightly described him as he takes frees like he's underwater, which is you can't really describe. Look it up on Twitter. You can't really explain it until you see it. But he has a very lazy free taking stance, and it works for him. And so much so that
Paul
he's been into our
Uniac.
Team. Uniac, Uniacke.
He sounds like a guy who's more likely to be playing cricket for Warwickshire than hurling. So it's great to see.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And in the half forward line, we've got Damien Casey from Tyrone. We've got Cahill Freeman and Shane Dooley. So we've spoken with
Shane
Dooley.
I was happy to hear Shane Dooley in there. Yeah, I was thinking, are we any 1B lads in here?
We've got Shane Dooley, who, of course, who we spoke about before.
Yeah.
Cahill Freeman played for Tyreen, of course, for Mayo, who got to the...
Yeah, we spoke about him before as well. His scoring was unbelievable all the way through the league.
11 points in the league final as well. He's at centre half forward. And Damien Casey's really interesting as well. He's from Tyrone. He scored 212 in one of the games this year. And also he flies home from London every weekend to play for the Tyrone Hurlers. That's some commitment.
Mm,
that's
unreal. Is that the longest commute of any intercounty player in the GAA at the minute?
For Tyrone Hurling, like, I mean, you have to be honest and say, like, if you're coming home to play for Kerry football or something like that and you're living in London or you're driving up from Dublin or something like that, there's a glory to that. Whereas it's just pure commitment and passion to be coming home and playing for Tyrone Hurlers. It's fantastic.
And then our full forward line, finally, is Neil McManus from Antrim, Keith Higgins from Mayo, and Niall Arthur from Loud, who scored 4-12 against Longford in one of the games this year. We missed that at the time. And we were trying to decide earlier on, myself and Morris.
The Longford Department of Propaganda
is that the most anybody scored in a hurling match this year so far.
Wow. 4-12. Niall Arthur. Niall Arthur was a guy who won scored a winning goal for Clare in under 21 Munster final. I wonder, is he transferred?
Maybe.
Anyway, it's just you wouldn't think there was a million people called Niall Arthur.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'll look that up. Who was the other?
Keith Higgins.
And we also mentioned Neil McManus's ridiculous scoring for Antrim.
That's outstanding,
as well,
We don't know now as to what's going to happen with Keith Higgins. He is back training with the Mayo Footballers. They're playing on May 13th against Galway. I'm pretty sure the Mayo Hurlers have a game the day before. So we don't know. We actually don't know as to whether he's going to try and combine the commitments or if he's just, from the Hurlers' point of view, lost to those footballers for another year.
Yeah.
And time will tell.
I just realised when you said May 13th with Galway and Mayo that's going to be on the same day as Cavan Donegal. That's very annoying. I'm going to miss the biggest game of the first round of the championship.
But now in the UCV.
The Sunday evening sport results. And we begin as usual with a look at today's GAA results.
But now in the UCV.
McKenna Cup semi-final. Antrim 2-10, down 1-9.
But now in the UCV.
And first that shock defeat of newly crowned Ulster champions Down in the McKenna Cup semi-final at Casement Park.
But now in the UCV.
They were well beaten by Antrim after taking the gamble of resting three of their key players.
But now in the UCV.
Down couldn't compete with Antrim's strong midfield.
But now in the UCV.
The goals that clinched victory came in the second half from Mick Cunningham and Kevin Goff. Antrim meet Armagh in the final.
But now in the UCV.
But now in the UCV.
But now in the UCV.
Can I mention our friends at London GAA before we leave?
Yeah.
They tweeted, they had a visitor at training a couple of days ago. Harry Redknapp visited the lads at training tonight. Here is a tweet from official London GAA. We will make no comment on the rumours that Nico Cranchair, Peter Crouch and Jermaine Defoe are searching for a London club in order to be eligible for the county panel. Winky emoji, hashtag Londonaboo.
I hope Harry put in more effort with the London GA team. Already it seems he did, but could judge him by the reaction that he did when he was managing Jordan. He gave one of the all-time
This is, of course, the Nation, rather than like doing PR for the glamour model.
Katie Price, he was our advocate. He used to go out and cut promos for her. yeah, but he gave one of the great, all-time great interviews.
Can't believe I used the phrase glamour model.
I think he managed Jordan
for 3 days. He had a job at the Daily Mirror.
Which is, calm down, let's get back on track. Jordan the country, he managed them for 3 days. I think he took
out not the Grand Prix team.
2 matches. So anyway, himself and Heinz Harald Fretzen. Forget about it. Just subscribe to the podcast. Rate the show.
Finish the Jordan story.
I'm getting there. We're going to leave it with this interview that I'm trying to describe. Why not? Why describe it when you can just listen to it?
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Congratulations.
Huh?
Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Do you have any comment after the winner?
Very good performance. Good performance. I've been very impressed with the players in training, playing. They are good boys. You have some very good players in Jordan. Jordan football, the future is good.
About the next game in Sydney with the
tough Australia. Game, tough game, but we look forward to it. Mm. We travel now tonight, and we look forward to the game.
To the Prince Ali with our team.
Prince Ali, special man, fantastic man. Mm. Prince Ali is here to support the team. He loves football. He loves football. So he's a great man, you know.
About Captain Abdullah Abu Jamia.
Huh?
About Captain Abdullah Abu Jamia. Do you have any message from Harry to Abdullah Abu Jamia, to our players?
Yeah, the players were very, very good. It was a good performance today. They are very, very... You have a lot of very good players in Jordan. The future is good.
Great stuff. Unfortunately, Mark kind of wrapped the show there without my permission, even though I'm sort of supposed to be in charge here. So
this coup is ongoing.
Just going to,
I drop the mic if it wasn't in a stand.
Exactly. So I've brought it back. I've brought us back here to tell you about Louth hurler Niall Arthur, who his 4-12 smashed a 59-year-old National Hurling League record, which had been held by Christy Ring since 1959.
How did we miss that at the time?
When he scored 6-4 against Wexford, Christy Ring. And Niall Arthur, I just knew there wouldn't be too many people calling Niall Arthur. Niall Arthur is the former Clare hurler, who was minor hurler of the year when Clare got to the final in 2010. Went on to win, I think, 2 under-21 All-Ireland. Scored a winning goal, last-minute goal, in I think it was the second of Clare's 3 in a row. And he scored like a last-second, like 8th minute of injury time winning goal in the Munster final against Tipperary. That kept him going that year. So it's kind of, there's always a bit of a strong name recognition in Clare anyway, because he was a bit of a next big thing. Moved to Dublin a couple of years ago, and now I definitely missed some of the intervening period because I don't know how he ended up. But him and his brother are playing for the Louth Hurlers, and he scored 4-12 in a league.
As a Longford man, I was
on
honored.
The fly research there.
As a Longford man, I'm honored to be even in the proximity of history, even though that we're the victims of it.
Yeah. Poor Longford, they put in a good shift despite their only 60 hurlers this year. 61, was it?
I think 60 or 61 hurlers in Longford.
Yeah. Well, and it's going up, I'm sure. they see like people like Niall Arthur at work. How would you not pick up a hurley afterwards, you know? So anyway, this time we are done. Thanks to Mark.
Bye bye.
And I'll let you do it all together next week, actually. Yeah. And thanks to Gavin, who did it all together last week. And thanks to me. And thanks to Morris as well for picking the team. And we will put that up on Instagram, by the way, if you missed it. And we'll put it up on Twitter, and you can have a look at it and get in touch with him and with us if you have anything to disagree with. And if there's anything you would like to tell us, if you would like any stories that Mark would like to read out in the so-called Weaker Club Month section next week, please get in touch with us at balls.ie on Twitter, at balls.ie on Instagram. The gaffer at balls.ie is our email address. Any other way you can get in touch with us, that's WhatsApp.
WhatsApp, there's an issue at the moment. We're changing over to the new WhatsApp. We're bringing out a new...
We're not using the old WhatsApps anymore.
It's all technical stuff.
Yeah.
If you like it, but there's also Facebook Messenger. You can message us on Facebook. And you can ring the office. Our number is 01 something something. It's on the site somewhere. We'll contact us.
Nobody will answer that. I know we will, actually.
We will. We usually do.
We'll put Morris on to you. Talk to him about Karen McCabe's
about under-21 Junior C Hurling Championship in Leitrim.
Right, and no more Kerry jerseys at the Masters, I think, is the one thing we've taken out of this week so far. But until next week, we will be back with you then, and